Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
When God made the first man, Adam, he placed him in the Garden of Eden and commanded him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He warned him that if he did eat, then he would surely die. The serpent tempted Eve, the wife of Adam, and she ate. She gave to her husband, and he ate. So Adam incurred the penalty of death, just as God had threatened, and he brought sin and death to the whole world. Yet God promised to destroy the works of the devil, who had led man to his doom. God said to the serpent, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." By faith, Eve expected that one of her children would be that Savior. When her first son, Cain, was born, she said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." She bore another son, Abel, whom Cain murdered. Then she knew that neither Cain nor Abel was the promised deliverer. When she bore a third son, she called his name Seth, which means appointed. "For God," said she, "hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." By faith, she believed that God remained true to his promise to bring through her a Savior. Seth begat a son, Enos, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. There were before Abraham, then, men who called upon the name of the Lord. But God did something extraordinary with Abraham. He promised him that he would make of him a great nation, and that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. God said to him, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make my name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Abraham believed God and did as he commanded. He took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son to the land of Canaan. There God told him he would give the land to his seed. Several years passed, and Abraham had no son, and had as an heir only a servant, Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham sought God's reassurance that he would indeed have an heir. And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." So God gave Abraham the reassurance he requested. He said to him, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Abraham's servant Eliezer would not be his heir. Abraham would beget a son, and that one would be his heir. God, to illustrate his promise, told Abraham to look at the stars in heaven. He told him that just as they are innumerable, so would his offspring be. The scriptures say, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." This was not the first time that Abraham had believed God. He believed God when God first called him and told him that he would make of him a great nation. Abraham did not simply believe at one time and then cease believing. Rather, he believed God at all times. He believed God in the beginning, when God called him, and ever after. He did not have faith only once in his life. He lived by faith. This simple act of faith God counted to Abraham for righteousness. A man stands before God as righteous, not by the merit of good works, but by faith. So St. Paul argued in his epistle to the Romans. He wrote, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." The church in Galatia had corrupted the gospel, teaching that a man is righteous before God by works of the law. St. Paul countered with the example of Abraham. He wrote, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." God announced to Abraham, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." God had called Abraham out of the land of his fathers and had promised him a new land in which to dwell. Abraham trusted God. A man may believe God and yet ask for some sign whereby his faith is reinforced. So God, through Noah, made a covenant with mankind in which he promised never again to destroy the world. Yet he gave the sign of the rainbow as a token of his promise. So Gideon asked God for a sign that it was indeed he that spoke to him, and God granted his request. When God, through Isaiah the prophet, told the dying king Hezekiah that he would heal him, the king asked for a sign. He said, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" God gave him a sign. He caused the shadow of the sun to turn back 10 degrees. So when the man whose son had an evil spirit brought him to Jesus that he might heal him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Abraham believed God, but he asked God for reassurance of his promise. He asked, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" God would make a covenant with Abraham by which he would swear to fulfill what he had promised. He told Abraham, "Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Abraham did as God said. He gathered the animals, and he cut them in two, except for the birds. He then lay the halves opposite each other in two rows, making a pathway between them. In this ancient ceremony called cutting a covenant, the two parties to the covenant walk together between the pieces, and they swear to uphold their part or be cut to pieces like the animals. Such a ceremony was observed in the days of Zedekiah, the king of Judah. In those days, the king and the people, in obedience to God's command, made a covenant to release from slavery all their Hebrew slaves. They did release them, But then, like Pharaoh, they had a change of heart, and they again enslaved them. So God would punish them by allowing the Babylonians to destroy them. God said, "And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof, the princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests and all the people of the land which passed between the parts of the calf. I will even give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of them that seek their life. And their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth." As the sun was setting upon Abraham, a deep sleep fell upon him, and he had a sense of terrible darkness around him and a great dread. God had promised Abraham and his descendants the land of Canaan. However, he also told him that before his descendants reached that land, they would live in a land that was not theirs, and that the people of that land would enslave them and afflict them for 400 years. He told Abraham that he would judge that people and would lead his descendants out of that land and with many possessions. He told him that he would live a long life and then go to be with his fathers. After four generations, Abraham's descendants would finally reach the promised land. At that time, the wickedness of the inhabitants of Canaan would be intolerable to God, and he would use the descendants of Abraham to wreak his vengeance upon them. When the children of Israel finally did reach the border of the promised land, Moses said to them, "Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." The scriptures say, "And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces." Of course, the smoking furnace with the flame of fire was a representation of God. When God first appeared to Moses, he appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. In the Exodus, he went before the people by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. He descended upon Mount Sinai in fire, and the smoke of it ascended like a furnace. When God cut the covenant with Abraham, he did not walk with him between the pieces. He walked by himself. When men make a covenant with each other, they swear by something greater than themselves. Often they swear by God. There is nothing greater than God, however. He is immeasurably great. So, God swore by himself, because there was nothing greater by which he could swear. God had made a promise to Abraham, and he confirmed that promise with an oath. As it is impossible for God to lie, the promise God made is as sure as God himself. Abraham believed God. Of course, a man that believes God also obeys him. A man that has faith also has works. True faith does not exist by itself. Abraham believed God, but God put Abraham's faith to the test. He commanded Abraham to sacrifice the thing he held most dear, Isaac, his only son, whom he dearly loved. When Abraham raised his knife to strike his son, God stayed his hand and said to him, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham believed God, but his faith was realized in his obedience. Abraham, by his obedience, was proved a righteous man, and God recognized him as such. When the Jews that opposed Jesus justified themselves by saying that Abraham was their father, Jesus answered them by saying, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. St. James wrote, Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. As God is true, everything came to pass just as he told Abraham. Abraham died of old age and went to be with his fathers. The scriptures say, And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. His descendants, the children of Israel, were enslaved in Egypt. Moses led them out of Egypt with many of the Egyptians' possessions. They did conquer the promised land, and they did dwell there. The promise God made to Abraham was not simply about physical descendants of Abraham living in Palestine, however. Abraham was righteous before God by faith. His physical descendants, although they were the covenant people of God, were not thereby righteous before God. They had circumcision, but were not thereby righteous before God. They kept the form of the law, but they were not thereby righteous before God. The just shall live by his faith, Habakkuk the prophet said. Abraham was not justified by his circumcision, but before circumcision by faith. So he is the father of all them that believe. The true descendants of Abraham are spiritual. They are the ones who believe God as Abraham did. St. Paul wrote to the Romans, For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Moreover, the land upon which these spiritual descendants dwell is not limited to the land of Canaan. It is rather the whole world. For the prophets say, The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God promised the children of Israel a new covenant, better than the Mosaic covenant. In that new covenant, he said, But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Zechariah the prophet said, And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Saint Paul told the Romans that Abraham and his seed are heirs of the world. When God called Abraham, he told him, In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Saint Paul explained to the Galatians the meaning of this promise. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The true sons of Abraham are they who have the faith of Abraham, they who believe as he did and obey as he did. When God said to Abraham, In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, he meant that all the world should believe and obey. This, St. Paul wrote, was the gospel preached before unto Abraham. Let us be true sons of Abraham by believing God and by obeying him, for he is worthy of our trust. Let us believe in the Lord Jesus and obey him, for he is the true seed to whom the promises were made. Now unto the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.